Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
In America, evil will not win, I promise you. Hate will not prevail, and white supremacy will not have the last word.
That's President Biden today in Buffalo, New York, speaking to a city wounded by racial hate and deadly violence. Saturday's mass shooting at a grocery store in the city's black community has spread a dark stain on this country's checkered history of imperfect race relations. The attack, called domestic terrorism by the president today, is a reminder of the threat that looms for black people in America. Tonight, we talk about race relations in the wake of the Buffalo massacre. My guest is Dr. Raymond Winbush, race relations expert and author of Should America Pay? Slavery and the Raging Debate on Reparations. Lines are open. I want to hear what you have to say about this issue of race relations in the wake of the Buffalo massacre. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Winbush, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
How are you doing, Brother Harold?
I'm doing okay. But concerned about what happened in Buffalo. Lived there. I did for 3 years. Very, very familiar with the community where the Tops supermarket is and more broadly, the black community there in Buffalo, New York. We can talk about that a little bit later and the impact on the city from my perspective. But from your perspective, as it relates to race relations more broadly in the wake of what has happened in Buffalo, who is this discussion for? Who should be concerned? Black people, white people, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, conservatives, who should be worried?
Well, who should be worried are black people. Who should be concerned is all of the above. Who really is concerned is probably black folk alone. Terrorism towards black people have occurred in this country since 1620, 1619. I mean, it's nothing new. Just 6 years ago, we saw Dylann Roof, who this guy, Peyton Gendron, said he modeled himself after, kill 9 people in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. So terrorism against black people is nothing new. You're going to hear the Democrats talk about guns. You're going to hear the Republicans talk about mental health. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. I guarantee you that another incident like this, and I'm not just talking about a mass shooting. I'm talking about a mass shooting of black people will happen before the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, this incident is terrifying. But are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, it's a horrific shooting, just like all of them are. I can remember our grief when, people were praying in the church, but I can also remember the grief of George Floyd's death, Breonna Taylor. I mean, this goes on and on. Terrorism against black people in this country is as American as apple pie, and it's going to continue unless there are consequences for killing black people. And right now, there are no consequences for killing black people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about race relations in the wake of the Buffalo massacre on Saturday. What do you think about the impact that this incident, this horrific incident in Buffalo, could have on race relations in this country? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As always, we will be taking your comments all the way up until about 8 o'clock. One of the things that bears this kind of issue out. The latest numbers of hate crimes against African Americans by the FBI were compiled in 2020. 2,871 reported hate crimes. That's up from 1,972 in 2019. Talk to me about how those numbers have increased and why do you suppose that is?
Well, you know, you have to, history is our best teacher. And, in a couple of days will be Malcolm's birthday, who said that. And you have to look at the fact that, when Trump became president, people acted like Trump started this racist stuff. I think the only thing Trump did was let the genie out of the bottle. It's now okay to be overtly racist and overtly violent against black people. Not that that hadn't happened again. I mean, we can go back to lynchings and Ku Klux Klan right after Civil War and so forth. But now in this modern day, we are seeing like overt racism. Part of this is this theory that Tucker Carlson, the so-called white replacement theory, which again is not a new theory. White people or people classified as white have always been nervous about the increasing numbers of black people in American society, dating back to Reconstruction, or you can even see it in the writings of the Founding Fathers. I think what we see nowadays is that the racism is being weaponized, is being overtly used against us. Again, I think that we're going to have more attacks like this, and I think that black folks in this country have to start saying, what are we going to do in light of it being inconsequential to kill us?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about race relations in the wake of the Buffalo massacre this past Saturday. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. John, calling from Montgomery County, Maryland. Thanks for calling, John. What's on your mind?
Yes, I got a real short answer, and it's, I hope it comes up correctly, but I think that if they put everybody on a level playing field, that a lot of this will stop, because it seems like people with weapons have more mental issues than people without weapons. So I think they should lift it and everybody stop these mass shootings. That's my thought.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying, John. In reference to weapons, can you kind of clarify what your point?
For example, like in West Virginia and North Carolina, you can open carry. And these restrictions would permit, if you made small mistakes and let everybody have an opportunity to have a gun, then people are less likely to attack someone if they know they had the same ammunition to fire back. That's not correct, politically correct, but it will stop a lot of it, because you're less likely to attack someone who has the same level playing field.
Well, go ahead, Dr. Winbush.
Well, John is not far off, and it's very interesting. Akinyele Omoja, in his book, We Will Shoot Back, talks about the fact that up until the mid-1970s, roughly about 40 years ago, black people talked about having weapons as a part of protection. Dr. King had a license to carry. Medgar Evers usually left his house at night with a gun. He didn't the night that he was assassinated. It seems that after the Black Panthers were wiped out practically by J. Edgar Hoover in the mid-1970s, that black people stopped talking about carrying guns. The NRA was opposed to black people carrying guns out in California. The NRA. So it's clearly a racial thing. Again, there is got to be consequential. And perhaps when John says that open carry for black folk need to start learning to shoot. And I always tell black people the two things that they need in their house is a gun and a passport. And this is not being extreme or anything else like that. We need to know how to protect ourselves. We need to know how to protect our community.
Well, let me say this, that we have seen over the past several years, and we've discussed this on this program, as it relates to African Americans and gun ownership, it has risen exponentially. I will say North Carolina, Ohio, wherever you are in this country, John, Washington, D.C., where it is illegal to carry a gun, from my perspective, I always assume, and maybe this is me being cynical, that someone that you may encounter on the street and may have a problem with is carrying a gun, whether they are doing it legally or illegally. And so I'm not so sure that that level playing field, whether it's legal or illegal, is going to make much of a difference. But, John, I appreciate your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay, calling from Germantown. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you to give me opportunity to speak out. I always say that every day. We are black, and we have to know that we come from a kingdom. A black didn't come from anywhere. They come from a kingdom. We need to stop, go to Mexico. We need to stop, go to Cancun. We need to cross a sea and go to Africa to have that power.
Yeah, black, but we're not talking, Jay, let me stop you. We're not talking about Africa today. We're talking about, hold on, let me finish. We're talking about black folks and race relations in America. And what the impact of this violent, horrific act has on us. We can talk about Mexico. We can talk about Africa. Has nothing whatsoever to do with it. There were African Americans killed on Saturday. Not Africans. African Americans. People who were born in this country. The suspect was born in this country. The racial hate and animus that is alleged to have contributed to his actions were born in this country.
Yes, sir. But if they don't want us to have a gun, we have a power. With that power, we can get it from Africa. That's what I'm coming back to say. We have to get that power from Africa.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jay. What are you talking about?
If somebody faces you with gun, you have a war you can use to kill yourself. It's like that. We have to use that power we have, because we don't know that. They didn't tell us that. They didn't explain. They hide to us.
Yeah.
That's why they don't want us.
Jay, I'm sorry. I think you're missing the point, and I need to go on. Jay, calling from D.C. I'm sorry, Vernon, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Race relations in the wake of this shooting. What are you thinking?
Yes, race relations in the wake of this shooting. Number one, yes, we can't give up on the reparation because, number one, that begins and that may solidify a healing process. However, everybody carrying guns not going to prove, not going to solve anything. It'll just be more wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. Why is this so taboo for mankind as a whole to begin the dialogue of, hey, we're all related, we're all created equal. We need to begin the dialogue and the doctrine that all of us bleed the same blood. Until we realize that we should love one another unconditionally, then we're going to have problems. Not only in the United States, but all over the world. What if the world was attacked? I bet we'd come together then. It wouldn't matter what color we are.
Yeah.
See, we got to, that color dialogue thing is a very dangerous thing. Yeah, we've been, and that's what got us to the point where we are in the United States today, that white supremacy doctrine. We need to start teaching the human supremacy doctrine.
Okay.
That's where we need to start.
Okay, Vernon, thank you so much. What about that, Dr. Winbush? Because I had a conversation with one of my white friends about that just last week.
Well, see, I think that what we want to do, I mean, I saw Biden do it today in Buffalo. We say these things like, this isn't who we are, we're better than this. These are these kind of pious platitudes that we say. I read most of Peyton Gendron's so-called manifesto, what he wrote, 180 pages. He clearly doesn't believe what your caller just said. He believes that black people are inferior to white people and that they should be killed. He also said that he was not mentally ill, and he also said that he wasn't prejudiced against black people. He said he was only prejudiced against black people when they came into what he called a white country, which is what he calls the United States, even though this belongs, as you know, to indigenous Americans. Indeed. I don't think that white supremacists are talking this thing about we're all one human, you know, we're all one and we're all one blood. Black folk do that and some white people do that. But as a dialogue, a cross-racial dialogue, that white supremacists believe that, not at all. They don't believe that.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Hillel. We're also going to talk to Andrea. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about race relations in America in the wake of the Buffalo Massacre. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That continues on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM and 96.3 HD2 in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about race relations in America in the wake of the Buffalo Massacre. My guest is Dr. Raymond Winbush, race relations expert and author of Should America Pay? Slavery and the Raging Debate on Reparations. If you have a comment, if you have a question about race relations in this country in the wake of this horrific incident in Buffalo on Saturday, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. If the lines are busy, please keep trying. I promise I will get to your call. Before I go back to the phone lines, I did want to say something about what you said right before the break, Dr. Winbush, and I think you were spot on where people who believe in white supremacist doctrine. No, they don't believe that that people of color, particularly black people, are equal to them. And yes, race allies, white people, will say that. Had this very discussion a little more than a week ago with a white friend of mine, where she was talking about not liking the term race or black or white and the human race. And I had to say to her, yeah, that's great. But you don't wake up every morning with a reminder of your blackness.
Exactly.
And that is a luxury that white privilege affords you. I appreciate the support and want you to continue to have that support. And then here we go, a week or so after I had that conversation, then we see what all of us as black people in this country have to always be aware may happen. Just because of the color of our skin in 2022.
Right. And you got to understand, Harold, and I'm sure you do, that, white people are a minority. They're only about 1/8 of the world's population. And they feel under attack, and they have felt under attack. Years ago, my friend Chuck D from Public Enemy did an album called Fear of the Black Planet.
Yes.
And if you read, you know, this Tucker Carlson white replacement theory and all of that, it's an expression of that fear. The unfortunate thing is that when white folks oftentimes get afraid of black people, they get violent towards black people. And we have to be aware of that. We have to protect ourselves. And if we don't protect ourselves, we're going to see this repeated over and over again in our churches, in our schools. You probably know about the threats at HBCUs. I'm at an HBCU. You're at one. And they've been under threat. So we have to be diligent. We have to be mindful of how white supremacy manifests itself towards black people.
Well, I think the interesting piece about that is there is so much talk during this last political cycle about critical race theory and being taught in the schools, which it is not. But
exactly.
And that's what you have white people concerned about. But now when we've seen this issue of white replacement theory, and, you know, according to, you know, what this alleged shooter has written, it ends in violence. CRT, you know, you vote out progressive candidates on school boards and on county councils. White replacement theory, you have blood in the street. Something to think about. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Hillel calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Mr. Fisher. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes, I've been listening to the conversation. Beautiful. And thanks to you, Dr. Winbush. Beautiful.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah.
Several things were stated in reference to race, right? I keep hearing color, white, black. We can't be but one thing. Over the years, I'm 68 years old, so over the years, the names have changed to from Negro, whatever. Color and black. All of those words are meaningful. Words are meaningful. I'm a definition man myself. Black, according to science, means death. Black means anything that is wicked, derogatory, and have no worth. We have worth, so how can we be black? Our God is not black. If we're made in the image and after the likeness of our God, how can we be black? How can we be color? Color means anything that has been painted, stained, varnished, or dyed. Pain means to put on the surface to make a film or a layer. Stain means to give a false or seeming appearance to wood, glass, clothes, etc. It's a liquid produced by dipping into water containing dye color. You know, so we can't be these things. I heard the word white. White means purity. Purity means God, and God means the root of the land. So if I'm calling the so-called white man, which is the Caucasian or European, white, I'm calling him my God. We were kings and queens. We got to go back to who we were. Who am I? Who are you? What am I? You know, we all have an origin, divine origin, that goes all the way back, not at the close of the Civil War, back to Adam and Eve, and coming forth, the history. We have an illustrious history, my brothers and my sisters.
So who is, you know, Hillel, who is all of that conversation for? Because how do we improve race relations in this country in the wake of this shooting other than saying to, you know, people who are not black, see, I told you so. I mean, because 5 years ago, Second Lieutenant Richard Collins was stabbed on the University of Maryland campus by a white student. And he was originally charged with a hate crime. That those charges were dropped. Now, Sean Urbanski, the man who was convicted of first-degree murder in Lieutenant Richard Collins' killing, is going to spend the rest of his life in prison. He's never going to see the light of day.
Right.
But the issue at that time was we know he did it, but why did he do it? And in the eyes of the law at that time, although the hate crime laws in the state of Maryland have been strengthened as a result of that murder, But at that time, the question of why it happened threw it into jeopardy.
Why can't we all try to get along?
Isn't that wonderful, said Rodney King. Why can't we?
Yes. Why can't we all get along?
Yeah, but as Dr. Winbush said, black people, a lot of them are saying that, but is that falling on deaf ears?
Well, you know, I think what we've got to do is examine some of the writings of a Howard graduate named Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. The reason why, you know, and Chuck, again, going back to Chuck D said they hate us because they ain't us. there's a certain degree of envy that people classified as white have of black people. We see them tanning their skin. We see them imitating our music. We see them, trying to, you know, if you want to use the term, talk black in a lot of instances. And I think they don't like us because they are a minority. They have us calling ourselves a minority. And I don't think that people who are white supremacists really care that much whether or not we're black or African. They just have... they feel threatened by people of color, not just black people, but, you know, years ago, Native American people, the Chinese right now, regardless of if they have color, melanin in their skin, white people feel threatened because they are a minority.
Hillel, thank you so much for your comments. Let's go to Andrea. Andrea calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is well. My first question is, why haven't we gotten a bill for hate crimes that's against Afro-Americans? They wrote a bill for Asians, but my question is, why haven't we got a bill for Afro-American hate crimes against black folks? My second comment is, black folks make me sick. Let me tell you why. Because we have become so comfortable. When something happens like this with us, we start to fight, we start to make comments, we start to get very angry.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get comfortable again. So my question to everybody and I'm listening to everybody with the history. I'm listening to everybody. Oh, we're black and we're proud and we this and that. Okay, we got all of that. But the question still remains on the table. What are we going to do? We done marched already. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. People done sold money out of the Black Lives Matter, so we looking like fools again. But actually, what are we going to do to make a difference in what's going on? I haven't heard no one say anything like this. What are we going to do?
So let's see what Dr. Winbush has to say, because I think that your question is truly legitimate. What about that? And I think... again, when we talk about hate crime legislation, we saw that a domestic terrorism white supremacist bill passed in the House in 2020, failed in the Senate in 2020. So here we go again. Another bill a similar bill to be introduced on Thursday by the Democratic-led House, but we know how the Senate is. So what are we going to do, Dr. Winbush?
Well, see, first of all, again, we have to take a look at 30,000 feet. It wasn't just that there's not been a hate crimes bill for black folk the way there was Asians a few months ago, especially during the COVID crisis when, you know, the white supremacists thought or told people that this was the China virus and so forth. There, we only had an anti-lynching bill passed after 100 and something years, starting with Ida B. Wells in the late 1890s, just a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this is something that's recent. We have to start saying this country, you know, and again, I'm going to quote Neely Fuller on this, and a lot of people don't like what he says, but it's the truth. He says that most white people hate black people. If you know this, you need know little else. Now, we don't believe that. We, you know, every time you say, well, not all people will say, not all white people are bad. You know, I've got a white friend. My cousin is married to a white guy, and he's okay. We want to believe that white people primarily see us as human beings, but they don't. What we do about that is act like that. We have to learn to protect ourselves. We need, you will go to, on YouTube and other places, and you will see white children learning to shoot guns when they are 8, 9, 10 years old. We need to do the same thing. Now, I know people will say, well, we'll start shooting each other. Not if we're taught right. The reason why, you mentioned earlier, Harold, the reason why they don't want us to know critical race theory, which is really not critical race theory, but history. The reason why at Howard University, Nicole Hannah Jones is being vilified by her 1619 Project is because they don't want their children to know the history of their attitudes towards the Chinese, the Native Americans, black people. They don't want us, because if we did, we would feel empowered. And if we feel empowered, we'll know what to do.
Andrea, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ricky, calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm hearing everybody, you know, talk about this platform of this white supremacist. Not, and the brother spoke about it. We ain't gonna get caught up in the color, you know, variation of black, Negro, white, and all that. The thing is, I mean, with this thing, the Constitution basically upholds it. The right wing, all that, you get, you know, is upholding this platform of white supremacists. Like y'all been saying, they've been going on for years. My thing is that if we can just start local and all that, hold the parents accountable with this. They teaching their children hate crime. When they come up, hold the parents accountable with the child.
Exactly.
We'll see how it goes then.
You know,
because we know they're gonna hate us.
You know, Ricky, to that very point, okay. You know, federal prosecutors were literally asked today whether or not the suspect in the Buffalo shooting, whether or not his parents could be charged. They were noncommittal. They were noncommittal about that, which is not a yes, nor is it a no. And to the broader point about race relations, and again, this is the conversation that we have in this in this country, because, as you know, black people aren't going anywhere, and so and we are going to continue to interact with the broader national community. So when in doing so, Dr. Wimbush, what does that conversation look like? Because, as you know, black people have been, I know I have been, I know you have been, I know so many black people have had to have conversations with people who are not black about blackness, and it is exhausting.
It is.
But it is, I would argue, it is our charge. But it goes back to what I said before. You know, we learned about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and the cherry tree and Christopher Columbus and all of the truths and half-truths and myths and all of those things. But people who are not black, unless they really wanted to, did not really learn about us. And so now they are still learning about us. And this past Saturday, they learned about our pain. And so what are those conversations like moving forward?
Well, it's going to be difficult, Harold. You know, the gentleman just asked whether or not the parents should be charged. I think they should. This boy threatened his school a year ago. His father bought him an AR-15 for Christmas. I know I couldn't grow up in my house in Cleveland, Ohio, with an AR-15 and then tell my parents, look, I'm going to drive 200 miles and I'll be back with the car later. You know, I couldn't do that. So I think parents are responsible. I think conversations, you know, have to occur within the white community. And it seems that white people aren't willing to do that. The only people, as Francis Welsing said, the only people that can end white supremacy are white people. Black people, the burden is on us. They want us to try. We can't end it. They have to decide to end it. And in my opinion, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I don't see them ending that soon. I don't think 30 years from now people will say, remember when we had racism? I think it's going to be here until they decide to end it.
Ricky, thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to Robert. Robert calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. I mean, most of what I was going to say, like you said, Neely Fuller Jr. is so correct. You know, unfortunately, a lot of them do hate us for whatever reason, whether it be, because of what we are, our intelligence, our capabilities, what we can do. Not all of it, of course, but a good amount, or we probably should. We should just make that assumption, I guess all of them are suspect. I hate to say that, but, I have them in my family, but, and I've worked with them, and I'm sure most of you gentlemen and ladies out here have. We had to deal with it. You had to deal with the racism, the unfairness. You work hard, you go to school, you obtain a certain amount of skill education, and it's still hard to get ahead, and they don't understand it. They think that, things just aren't, adequate. They aren't balanced. They're not fair. Stuff is not fair. I was going to say some other things, but I'm not going to start cursing on.
Yeah, let's not do that.
But it's just frustrating because, like I said, you work hard. You obtain a master's, PhD, whatever. You may be good at you obtain a master plumber or electrician, and it's still hard to get ahead. You still may not get the contract. You might not get the opportunities that they get, when they have half the skill, half the education, half the, whatever, capabilities, intelligence, what have you, and that's why they're so afraid of critical race theory. From what my understanding, it's only taught in law school, but
exactly.
The truth about critical race theory, you mentioned the history, you can't erase that. That needs to be taught. Everybody needs to learn that. Young kids, you can't erase that from books because they're going to, it's going to come out. That's why if it's so bad, if it's something, how can I try to say this? It's the truth. There's a problem because they want to hide it from everybody, especially from their own children, And they don't want us to, some of us do know. They don't want the rest of us to know.
Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much for your point. I need to go to Fernandez, calling from Laurel. Fernandez, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Sure.
I think the problem is it doesn't matter which laws we pass concerning this issue, because I think the problem is we trying to legislate someone's heart. And that's impossible to do. And I think with all due respect to your guests, we know more guns isn't the answer, because we, as African-Americans, we have a gun. We have a lot of guns, whether they're legal, as you said, or illegal. But, when you have a firearm, you more apt to pull that firearm as opposed to have a conversation. And I think, once again, it's the heart of white America. Just think who we elected as our president before the one that we have now. All the things that he said concerning black people, all the things that he said concerning women. And this is a man that we put in office. Even some African Americans put him in office. So, I mean, you have senators giving a wink and a nod to this type of behavior. And then, yet we are surprised when these type of things occur, when we say there's no such thing as right or wrong, or you know, do what you want to do, or have this type of mindset. So when these things continue to happen, it's sad, but it's just amazing that we still seem to act surprised when this type of behavior, when we have those in leadership, they spew this type of nonsense almost verbatim when you read the young man's manifesto that he wrote, or some of the things that he says. It's almost verbatim some of the things we hear on Fox News, or some of the things we hear from politicians. So, I mean, it's impossible to legislate this thing. I do agree with one thing he said, that it's not going to end until white people call other white people to the carpet.
Yeah. Well said, Fernandez. Well said. To the point about that we've heard during this conversation, Dr. Wynn Bishop, you know, white people hate us. Is it less about that and more about indifference to black people in this country?
I think it's both, Harold. I think that, you know, the compassion that you see, like you probably heard this afternoon that one of the young ladies that was in the drugstore, in the grocery store in Buffalo, when she called the 911, she was whispering because this guy was shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman yelled at her on 911, a white woman, and said, "I can't hear you." And she said, "Well, I'm whispering because there's a shooter here." She said, "I can't hear you." And she hung up on her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the indifference. You know, I think that we see it in the compassion towards black children. This guy killed mostly older people. He didn't kill young people. Most of the people were, 6 of the 10 people were women, and most of them were over the age of 50 years old. That's the indifference. That's the callousness. But again, we see it throughout our history. And I think that we have to learn from our history.
I would say, as I mentioned in the beginning of this program, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about my own experience in Buffalo, and certainly it may be a little shaded, not jaded, but shaded, because, you know, I was a news anchor there, and you know, you're on TV and everybody treats you nice. But but where this happened, it happened in the east side of Buffalo. That's what they called it, east side. The first thing I heard when I got to Buffalo was Buffalo is the most segregated city in America, very much like Chicago. So black people live on the east side. You have people of Eastern European descent in South Buffalo, you know, people of Czechoslovakian descent, Polish descent, whether they're, you know, first generation, second generation, third generation. Then in North Buffalo, you have the Jewish community, Italian community. This was back in the late 90s. It hasn't changed much. And then you had, of course, some middle-class black folks who city dwellers. That's where I lived in, you know, North Buffalo. In near West Buffalo, you had the Latino community, and then a little bit farther west at that time, you had some middle-class white people, artistic, liberal, progressive, the whole bit. Buffalo hasn't changed much, but Buffalo is also called the city of good neighbors, and that is something that I saw as soon as I got there. And I would argue that this is just not an issue that the black people in Buffalo are feeling. This is an issue that everybody in Buffalo is feeling, you know, outside of those who are openly or secretly white supremacists or what have you, but whether those people who've never paid attention to black people before in Buffalo, just because they just didn't pay attention, and now they're paying attention. Because that's the kind of community that Buffalo is. And I'm quite sure that down the road we are going to see more people who are not of color come out in support of the black community where this happened. I think the worst thing beyond the deaths of these people is the closing of this Tops Market, because we've heard reports about this being a food desert. It was a food desert back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And it's and now that the Tops Market is closed temporarily, it is again. And this, that's another issue. That's another show. But it all has to do with the suspect allegedly came to Buffalo to find black people. And
that's right.
and that's where they were.
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and hopefully there will be a reckoning. We saw a reckoning in 20 when George Floyd was killed, and the world, not just the United States, the world came together about his murder, and we saw some small changes. But again, I think for the white people who have been some of our allies, I think that there are also the white supremacists who attacked the Capitol on January the 6th.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got this push-pull, and how this is going to play out, we have to stay tuned for it.
Absolutely. We will definitely keep an eye on it. Dr. Raymond Winbush, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate your expertise and your insight.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, May 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.